pray that you speak to us this morning. All the worship and the Lord. Anything in our lives, Lord God, that we want to speak to us about, Father, I pray, Lord, that we have an open heart to hear your voice. And I pray, Father, for Laura, Lord God, and her daughter. And Father, I lift up that child to you, Lord, that you heal her, Father. And that you give Laura such amazing strength right now, Lord, that she just completely just keeps her eyes focused on you, Father. I couldn't imagine going through that, Lord, but I know, Father, that you can help us through anything. You'll give us that strength, Lord. Help her to cry out to you, Father. And Father, I just, as I was picking songs the other day, Lord, I was just reminded how much you love us, Lord. And sometimes when we sing, we're having a somber feel to it, Lord God. And sometimes we have a tone of asking for forgiveness, Lord. But this morning, I just wanted to have a reminder of how much you love us, Lord God, and how much we love you, and how without you, Father, we'd be nowhere, Lord. As we're singing today, Lord God, just please put that on our hearts, Father, how much we need you, and how you're always there for us, Lord God. Ashley, I pray, Father, that you just give pray that we can all just have our hope in you, Father, for any of our family members, Lord God, that seem like they are just so far from you, Lord God. I know, Father, that you grabbed me, Lord God. Definitely for some of my family members, it seemed like there was no hope whatsoever. But you called to me, Lord God, and I did listen. Something that we can work for. We just ask you. have that repentant heart, Lord God. We ask you and we receive that forgiveness, Lord God. It's a gift. And help us to receive that.
Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all knowledge, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of good report, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, let your minds dwell on these things.
Glorify all that you are worth, for I am.
all the time, God. I thank you for that gift that I'm able to forgive and or to ask for forgiveness, Lord God, and you forgive me, Lord. But I do pray, Father, that once that forgiveness comes in, Lord God, help me to be stronger, Father. Help me to do the right thing quicker, Lord God, and choose not to do the wrong thing, Father. And just give me strength, Lord, because I am nothing without you, Father. I just pray for this day, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit leads. Father, I pray that any flesh totally gets out of the way. Lord God, we just lift up Darren to you right now, Lord God. He's going to be teaching, Father, that you just speak through him. Father, you use him as one of your tools, Lord God. All the craziness that he went through this morning, Lord God, I pray that we lay that down, and we pray that everything will be okay with the puppies, and give him and Lisa strength, Lord God, with everything that they're doing, and we just lift this day up to you.
Lots of stuff. So first of all, I just want to say good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
If your morning was crazy like mine was, let's just put all that aside. In Jesus' name, let's come here to seek the Lord. All the pressures, all the anxiety, all the craziness that went on. Let's just push it aside. All the pressures that's going on in your life. The stuff that the enemy's trying to hold on to in minds right now, let's put it aside. And we ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would put that aside. That you would give us focus, that you give us heart, that you give us understanding, that we would hear what your Holy Spirit has us to hear. And we would ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, first, a couple things before I forget. Some folks had asked me about, we showed a video, we had like a packed crowd Thursday night, it was great, so it was so much fun, and we showed a video for Sanctity of Life Sunday, we showed it on Thursday, we had Laura speaking last Sunday, and somebody asked if we were going to show that video this Sunday, and the answer is no, I am not planning on doing that. However, if you do want that link, it's about a 9-minute video. It was an awesome video. Some people, a lot of people were texting me just what a blessing it was and encouraged their faith. If you want that sent, just text me. My card's in the back. Put that on there, and I will send you the link to that video. And again, it's about 8 or 9 minutes. Excellent video. I'd be happy to send that to you. Also, Gary, I know you're around here somewhere. Thank you. I want to make sure that we pray for Sue Berger, who I know is here somewhere.
Yeah, here she is.
Thank you. I want to make sure that we pray. If anyone else, we're going to pray over her. Matt, I hope that's okay to share about. You can just say your pastor's a pain in the neck, but whatever. But I want to make sure that we all pray for Sue and lay hands. So if anybody wants to pray after service here, I just want to make sure at least we do. And if anybody else wants to come pray, please come pray. Okay? Yes?
Could you also pray for my mother? My mother is 83 years old. She's about 90 pounds. She's a very small lady. She's going in on Tuesday to have something done with her heart. She didn't tell me what it was. She's got to put in. And on Wednesday, they want to also have her come back. They're doing something else with her heart as well.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm going to stop right the second. I'm going to pray right now. And also, I just want to say before we do, we pray for Mom. I just want to say again, thank you to this body. It's an amazing thing. For those of you who don't know, two things happened. You weren't here last week. One is that Ashley's mom got saved. And so if those of you don't know, she's been dying of cancer. We've been trying to speak the word for the last few years. And recently people have been going over to the house, cleaning the house, helping with medication, helping with meals, just going over there trying to share the gospel. And and she started reading some tracts and softening her heart. And then she didn't want to talk to anybody, but she started reading them. And then she started reading more. And then she asked me to bring all the tracts over we could. And so, we did. We piled tracts over there. And other people were sharing the gospel. And she had come out of... she was not very coherent for a very long time. And she was coherent for a short period of time. Even when she wasn't, there was folks over there from my body reading the Bible to her, reading the book of John and the book of Romans, just praying in Jesus' name that they would hear the word, and the hearts were softened, and her heart was softened. And then another person came in from a body and shared the gospel, and she happened to be coherent, and there was tears and repentance and broke down, and she ended up receiving the Lord. And it's an amazing thing. So praise the Lord for that. Also, please, it's an amazing thing. It's a wonderful thing. Christina, honey, we have, if you want, I know you've got crutches. Hezekiah, would you do me a favor, honey? Could you get a spot on the ground over here? If you want to come up here and grab a seat. I know you probably don't want the attention, but I'm trying to get you a nice seat, comfy seat for you. Just want to hear if you can make it through the crowds. And if not, maybe someone back there will give you a seat.
Thank you.
But also, I want to let you know that Ashley's mom went to be with the Lord. She came out of that. She was coherent just for that time to hear the gospel and receive the gospel. And she slipped back in kind of like a coma-like state and never came out. So she has gone to be with the Lord. And so if you would pray for Ashley, and if you would pray for your family, we would have a funeral the next, on the 5th, I think, Saturday the 5th. Or fourth, thank you. And so if you just pray for the family and just pray for strength for Ashley. But I'm so thankful that God saved her. He is truly an 11th hour God. And so we pray also for Ernie's mom right now, Lord. You know what's going on with her as she's going in and with her heart and all those things, Lord. You know the end from the beginning. And I don't know if she knows you or not, Lord, but that's the first thing I want to pray for, Lord. I don't know if she's religious or she really knows you personally, but I pray in Jesus' name that she would come to know you personally, that you are the true and the living God, and a relationship with you is life-giving, awesome, and vital, that somehow through him or through doctors or nurses, that your gospel, that your word, that your heart would be presented to her, Lord, and she would receive it, Lord. Lord, we pray for safety in the physical end of all that's going on there with her, but we pray that all those things go well. And that you would take care of her from the beginning to the end, Lord God, whether it's surgery or whatever, Lord, that you would take care of all the millions of details, Lord, and that you would be with her, Lord. And we ask this truly in your precious and holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, all right, so I think, is there anything else I forgot? We're going to start going through these things, and then I will. Yes, I got him up here, yes. All right, we've got a few things to go over real quick, and then we'll jump right into the Word of God. And so that's where we all need to be. And Mark, whatever scripture you were reading, I was coming out of the restroom, just thought I'd let you all know.
He was resting.
You were reading a scripture, whatever that was, I want you to find it. Whatever the Lord gave you there, I want you just to find it. I'm going to ask you to read that, Lord willing, sometime during the teaching. I felt like the Holy Spirit was bringing that to my attention. I don't even know what you read, to be honest, but I just felt like the Lord was wanting that. And also, I'm so glad. How's David doing?
He's hanging in there. The anesthesia is off, and so he's starting to feel it, but I think he's going to be good. He's going to be good. Thank you for all your prayers. That was so important. So, yeah, he's up.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, I heard the nurses said, hey, make sure you just, when you get out of that back surgery, just to eat Jell-O.
Yeah.
And then... First thing he did was, of course, ate a bag of Oreo cookies.
Double stuff.
That's a guy for you, right there. There's also free Panera Bread back there. If you guys want some bagels or loaves of bread, take it free in Jesus' name. You want to feed your body, but more importantly, feed your soul. Also, we need help in the children's ministry, so if you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to pour out to those kids maybe once a month, the little guys, the bigger guys, we would love to have you. Also, we have an equipping ministry here at the church. We have sermons online if you miss anything. We've got a loaner library back there with books and audios and DVDs. You're welcome to check them out. If you want to grow in the Lord, we want to help you to do that. We have more of these books. I'm going to skip that this week and this. There is one book. Miriam, are you here? Let's see. Is she here? Brought you a book? Okay. Oh, she's not here this week. Okay, if you'd like to join us Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. for prayer, we would love to have you. We need more prayer warriors praying. We'd love to have you join us here at the church Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. We have a women's Bible study this Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. And that is, we're going to have a salad dinner here for all the ladies. And I don't think my wife is here because we spent most of the morning, our family was cleaning up our mama dogs. Puked all over our little baby puppies.
Aww.
All 20 of them. So all morning we spent washing vomit off of puppies and leeching down. Oh, man. So she's not here at this moment. But we're going through The Nature of Jesus by Gail Irwin. And it's this Tuesday, 6:30 for fellowship and 7 p.m. Bible studies. And we figured out how to get it full screen, so we're good there for those of you who came last week. We're going to have a big salad dinner here for the ladies.
Are we all bringing something?
Huh?
Everybody bring
something. Actually, if you want to bring something, great, but we're going to have the big salad and everything here. So if you want to bring something else for dessert, you're welcome to. And I heard it was a good teaching. It was a good teaching, Hannah. And I also heard there was good discussion. I remember Susie telling me that. It's a good discussion afterwards. So ladies, come on out. And especially if you're new, don't be afraid. You'll have a good time. Also, teens are invited to that if you want to come out. Honestly, this particular series with Gail Irwin, I'm not going to do it because that'd be bribery, but I would even pay. I would love it just so that it's so good that you would come out. Okay, can't do that. Thursday night, barbecue and Bible study. Tom will be teaching this week. 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, we have dinner here for everybody, and then Bible study afterwards. And then I think the Kingdom Living Group is this week. Okay, and that is going to be?
No, this will be the fourth Friday. Diane's going to host it. Oh, okay. I already talked with her about it.
Okay, so we'll be at Diane's house, Kingdom Living Bible Discussion Group. Okay, and that's this Friday. And then, yes, I found out when this is going to be. So the Superhero 5K Race for Bridge of Life is going to be Saturday, February 18th, from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Uncle Tom, do you have something?
Yeah, if you don't sign up before the end of the month, the price jumps up to $40.
Okay.
Jeez.
So it's a 5K. Basically, everybody dresses up like superheroes. It's a family thing. If you have a baby, you can run, you know, with a stroller. If you have, there's all different, you know, I'm doing it. Listen, if I can do it, look, if anybody can do it. So anyway, if you'd like to join, please see me or Uncle Tom. We'd be happy to sign you up. We had about 15 people, I think, last time. It's at Benderson Park. Okay, and let's skip some of this. Thank you again for the name tags, by the way. All right, and we have just a little bit of update for those of you guys who are praying for our missionaries. Sue, can I pass this mic to you? You can sing a little bit, too, if you want. No.
For those of you who don't know Paul, he is a missionary in Kenya. He teaches pastors, local pastors in the largest slum in the world, and helps them to become biblically knowledgeable and take the word to their own churches in the slum. And he came down with a really bad intestinal infection a couple weeks ago, had to go into the hospital and have surgery. He is out of the hospital. However, they asked that we pray for them because he is allergic to most antibiotics. And if this happens again, it could be extremely serious, and he's not totally out of the woods yet. He's still very weak and fighting the infection.
That's right. And Lord willing, he'll be coming here this summer to teach again. So in a few months, we'll have him back over here. And if you haven't met him yet, he's a godly man, and it's always fantastic to hear him teach. And so that's exciting. Okay, let's see what else we got here. Also, for Loving Hands Ministry, it's a recovery group. We have Bibles for Loving Hands. They ran out of Bibles for their ministry to recovering addicts in jails. And so we've supplied them with the Word of God. We want where that's going into the jails. If you would like to be a part of that, we don't ask money for ourselves. The Bibles that they use are $11 each. And so just write a little check or put in an envelope with cash. Just put Bibles for Loving Hands, however much you want to put in there. And we're going to add to those Bibles. The Word of God is going forth from this place, even into the prisons. And so if you want to do that, drop that in the tithe box. Just make sure you say for Loving Hands Bible so you know to apply it to that. Fancy schmancy. And Hannah, do you mind coming up here just for a second? I know you don't like it, but come up here anyway. Can I have that mic back? Oh, thanks. Good job, Jim. Thank you, my Latino sister.
Latino.
Don't be scared. Everybody's looking at you. Go ahead.
So for those that don't know, Good News Club is where we go to the elementaries and we teach little kids Bible stories, and it's from K to 5. And we have a whole group at Bayshore, and they recently wanted us to add another job description, which is prayer coordinator. So for prayer coordinator, you don't have to be there every Tuesday like we do. We just need someone that will pray, and it be like a job. Like, you can't just pray once and then you're good. It's going to be like an every Tuesday or every, like, so many days a week thing. And if anyone's interested in that, then I have a paper that I can give you. Just see me after church.
And now, if I understand it correctly, not to put you on the spot, now you are now working for Child Evangelism Fellowship as well. I'm so proud of you. Love it. Okay, so get your Bibles open. We go through the Word verse by verse. Joe and Hesse Pat, you grab some Bibles. And if you and you can go back and sit there. Just grab a Bible, and if you need one, raise your hands, and someone will bring one right to you. Okay? We're in the book of Romans. We just went through Romans 9, where we talked about God's sovereignty. We went through Romans 10. We talked about the free will of man, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We went through chapter 11, as God rejected his people. The answer was no der, that's there, or no way. And then we are in Romans chapter 12, and we got through a whole one verse. That was impressive. You know what, Jim? I want to say thank you for sending me. Jim actually sent me. I love the analogy of a transformer, because, again, those of you guys who don't know, you know what the scripture says, it talks about being transformed. And so transformers look like normal cars, for those of you who are not, you know, very young and cool like me. And they look very...
What?
Transformers look like ordinary cars, and you know the story, but they turn into these, like, awesome butt-kicking battle robots, okay? And in that same sense, as we are being transformed, as we are not being conformed to the pattern of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind, we too, in a spiritual sense, become these butt-kicking battle robots, but for the Lord. And so, Jim, thank you for sending me. There was actually a car. I was going to show it up here. I didn't get a chance to do it because I was so behind this week. But Jim sent me a little thing where they actually have a car, BMW, that turns into... an actual robot.
Three cars.
It's the coolest thing I ever saw. But you'll have to wait maybe until next week because I didn't have time again. Okay. All right, let's, I want you to take, I asked you to do it this time. I just want you to take a minute for yourselves, and I want you to read Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2. Just pray, hey, wait. Before you do, just say, Lord, will you please speak to me as I read this? Just ask him, and I want you to read those two verses. Okay. Thank you. verses 1 and 2. The therefore, whenever you see a therefore, you have to ask yourself,
why
is it there for? Why is it there for? That's right. So he's talking about, so he starts off in verse 12, he gets very practical now, and he's going back, he's like, therefore, in lieu of all these past 11 chapters you've read, and 300 verses that you've taken in your heart, of all that God has done, how he's justified you, how he's saved you, all these things, therefore I urge you, and that word means what? What does urge mean?
Plead.
What do you plead with? Beg. He's begging you. You know, and I would almost do the same. When I read this, I'm begging you. You know, Paul's saying, hey, I can't. Did you ever notice you don't really have a lot of control over other people?
Yeah.
Honestly, I wish I could say, okay, do this, and they would do it. If you have kids, you know this to be true. Am I right? Now, and just as a pastor, there was a study that said recently that they did saying that, you know, after 911, everybody started going towards the Lord, right? And they said, of course, now, you know, here we are years later, that we're right back to where we started from before 911. And they blamed the pastors. Now listen, I'm not saying there's not a lot of, you know, bad pastors out there. I'm sure that there are, but there's a lot of good, solid ones. And I think they're overestimating what kind of influence we have. Listen, just like Paul's not saying, I command you to do it. This is the Apostle Paul. You know, handkerchiefs would heal people. He's a pretty strong believer, don't you think? And he's just saying the same thing I would say. He's like, I'm begging you guys. I'm pleading with you as a brother. And he says, I pray, brothers, sisters, those of you who are born again believers in Jesus Christ, not you talkers, not you churchgoers, this is for you guys who have said that you have professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Oh, okay, let me just squeeze. Go back. All right. Now I'm not going to go over all this stuff. We already went through verse 1, so let me just speed forward, all right, so I don't start reteaching the whole thing. All right, you left off right here. So I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, right? And some of your translations have a better translation that says to present your bodies. Not even yield, not even sort of present it. I want God saying, in view of all that God's done for you, you know, I want you to present your bodies to him as living sacrifices. Listen, our flesh wants to live the way we want to live, doesn't it? I want what I want, and I want to gratify the flesh. If I'm hungry, I want to go get the food that I'm hungry for. If I want to see something, my sexual appetite, oh, I want that. That's how the world operates. That's not how we're to operate as Christians. Right? It says to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And we talked about that too. You know, in the Old Testament times, they would bring these lambs, you know, and they would sacrifice them as burnt offerings. But God wants us to be... And here's the thing, that lamb wasn't like, oh great, let me have blood sprinkled on the altar, let me be burnt up in a sacrifice. No, that lamb had to be dragged, right, to the altar. God doesn't want you to be dragged to the altar. He's saying, in view of God's love, of his mercy for you, of his patience, of his long-suffering, his kindness, in all that he has done for you, I want you to present yourself joyfully as a living sacrifice. Voluntarily put yourself on that altar. I want you to do that and not get off that altar. You know, because that's holy and pleasing to the Lord. And this is your spiritual act of worship. But that word spiritual in Greek is logikos. That's logical act of worship. It only makes sense. And it's pleasing to the Lord. And you know what? Have you guys ever, we had a men's meeting. It was a great time. And I don't know if it was Michael or Mark or Adam, whoever was cooking bratwursts.
Mike.
Okay, was about okay, Mike. Man, let me tell you, those burgers, those bratwursts smelled so good as they were on that fire. You know what I'm saying? That sweet smelling aroma came up. And in a sense, God is saying, I want you to offer your bodies to God in that same way. I want you to be, listen, and here's the thing. When you get put on that altar, there's going to be a fire. And that fire, as God turns it up, sometimes burns away some of the impurities, right? Having the fire put under you a little bit isn't fun sometimes, is it? But sometimes we need that to burn the impurities. But that's what that great smell comes up. And it's holy. It's set apart. It's pleasing to the Lord. And I love that. And I even thought about this, that word pleasing. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 15 to 16. It says, for we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ. Listen, when you voluntarily offer your body on that altar and say, God, I'm yours. All of it. Not some of it. I'm not just putting an arm on there, right? I'll just offer my mouth. No, he wants all of you. When you put yourself on that altar, that is a sweet-smelling aroma to God. That's holy. That's pleasing. That's what makes God happy. When you say, whatever, God, whatever you want to do, it's all yours. My finances are yours. My time is yours. My sexual life is yours. My, you name it, my think, it's yours. My work job, it's yours. My school time, it's yours. Everything. My mouth, my tongue, it's all yours. And it says that among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, that aroma is going up to God. And here's what it says. When you put your life on that altar, when you sacrifice for him, it says, to one, we are the aroma that brings death. And to the other, the aroma that brings life. Do you think the world really likes it when you are offering yourself to the Lord as a sacrifice? When your bodies, when your life, when you're not living the way the world does? Do you think the world likes that? You know what, can I tell you? I'm going to paraphrase this. But here's the one I think the world thinks it stinks. When they see you offering yourself up to God, to them, it stinks. Because they're not doing it. But to those who are being saved, when I look at some of you, and I see how you are offering, your lives are following Christ, when I look at you, and I see certain attributes of you, that you're offering to the Lord, that you're sacrificing for Jesus, let me tell you, I smell it. I know it sounds kind of weird, but you know what I'm saying. It looks good. It smells good like those brats. I can tell. It encourages my faith. Doesn't it do the same to you? Let's be honest. Listen, God wants us, says in the Word, says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your logical act of worship. 2 Corinthians 5:9 says this. This is Paul. He says, so, almost like the same thing. So in view of God's mercies, we make it our goal to please him, whether we're at home, in the body, or away from it. What does that verse say to you?
The goal is something you reach towards.
Good.
Regardless where we are, we keep striving to please him.
Good.
It's our lifestyle.
Our eternal blessings.
Good.
If the body there is referring to the body of Christ, then it would be that we will, you know, are attempting, you know, to, like, we just love serving the Lord, not only here, but also out there.
You know, the one thing, and those are all right, this is a question that I can't answer for you, okay? Can I ask you a question? This is just for you to answer. Don't raise your hand unless you feel led, but this tells me two things. This says, so Paul said, we make it our goal. That means I have a choice in it, doesn't it? See, Lord, how many times have you seen somebody, Lord, I put myself on this altar for you. Oh, I'm all in it for you, Lord. I'm here. I'm so for you, Jesus. Oh, hey, look what's on TV. Getting off. Hey, look at that. Oh, hey, I want to go out tonight. You know what I'm saying? Do we make it our goal? You can do that. It's a choice, isn't it? And here's the other question. Is it your goal to please him? I'm not attacking anybody, right? I'm just saying, is that your goal? Not that you're not going to stumble sometimes, right? Don't we do that? Do you ever stumble? Do you ever make mistakes? Yes. But is it your goal in life to please him? Is it your goal today to please him? Now, this is not a boasting thing of myself. This is a desperation thing. You know what I did the first thing I got up this morning? Thank God I did, because it ended up being crazy. I'm showering, like, you know, right at 10, you know. Sorry. So, I'm like, Lord, you know what? I just want to please you today. Lord, help me in whatever I do, whatever I say, whoever I meet, to please you. That's the cry of my heart. That's the cry of a heart of a Christian. That's the cry of a heart of a born-again Christian who's offering their bodies as a living sacrifice. And so I want to ask you, is that your day? Is that your goal to please him? Yes, Tom.
Yeah, the New Living Translation renders.
And I apologize, Tom, would you speak a little louder? Normally we have Nate with the mic.
The rendering of the first verse, I don't need it. It says here, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done.
That's right.
So what has he done for you?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because you feel he's done nothing for you. We're not doing anything.
Maybe you don't understand yet what he has done. Well, let's go on with start verse 2.
Against the flow.
Okay, I love this. Go against the flow, Elijah. That's exactly right. Romans chapter 12:2 says this, guys. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect will. Do not conform, but let God transform you. So the first thing I notice when I read that is the word do not conform. When I read that, do not conform. So I guess the first question is, what does that mean? Okay, the Bible is telling me, God is telling you, he's saying, I don't want you to conform to the pattern of this world. I want you to be transformed. What does that mean? What does the word conform mean?
Do not walk this way.
Do not walk this way? Okay, good.
Following probably the world's rules or what the world does.
What the rules, yeah, good.
To become like something.
Imitating the behavior of the world, right?
To become like something.
To become like something. Are those right?
Join.
I'm sorry? Yes, Jen.
Conform is joining.
Ah. Not join yourself to the world. That's really good.
Yeah.
Do not conform yourself. The word in Greek is somatic, and it basically it's a compound word, and it means it's where we get our word schematic from. Do you know what a schematic is?
Mm-hmm. Diagram.
It's like a diagram. It's a plan. Like if somebody went to build a house. Right?
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't just say, I don't know, let's put the bathroom over, I don't know, let's just build it out in the yard, and let's put the you know, kitchen, you know, in the front. No, you have to have a plan before you start building, right? You know what I'm saying? So he's saying, do not conform. Do not go along with the plan. It's almost like this. So it means with a schematic. Do not go along. It means do not conform your mind, your character, in Greek, do not conform your mind and your character to another's plan. That means, and that tells me, that there's someone else has a plan for you, doesn't it?
Oh, shit.
Huh? What?
Faux show.
Faux show. You know, dictionary.com says this is what it means for conform. It says to act in accordance with or in harmony with. So God's saying, I don't want you to act in harmony with the world. He's like, he says to act in according with the prevailing standards, the attitudes, the practices of a society. That's the world is trying to conform you into its mold. It's trying to conform you into its standards, into its image. It says, number three, to become similar in form or nature or what?
Character.
See, the enemy, the world, is trying to conform you into what it wants you to be. And it's not how you dress, right? Because you could be here, you know, any race, any color, you can be tattooed, you can be pierced, whatever. Do you love the Lord? You're either following him or you're following the world, whether you know it or not. And I don't want to be like them. I love this. Hey, guys, look at this. A conformist. Of course, the little joke is, of course, they're all the same. But he is the conformist. And so, basically what it's saying, do not conform. When it says do not conform, do not imitate the world, it basically means be like this guy. And could you hit those lights, Punky?
Oh, I like
that. I don't know if you can see this picture. Can you see what everybody's doing? Everybody's going that way. But I don't know if you can see this one guy that got circled. He's like, I'm not going. I'm not going that way. It's wrong. So what God's saying is, I don't want you to conform. The whole world is going to be going this way in their thinking, in their media, in economics, in school. Everybody's going to say, this is okay lifestyle. This is the okay way to be. This is the okay way to think. This is the okay way to act. And God is saying, no, I want you, don't conform to that. I want you to be transformed. I want you to go my way. Does that make sense?
Yep.
I don't care if everybody's going that way. I want you to be different. I want you to go against the flow. Here's a nice thing. If the world and the church is going one way, you're a pretty safe bet to swim the other. Yes, a couple of hands raised.
I watched a movie last night, Hacksaw Ridge. That guy did not go with the flow. Every single one had to have a gun. He wouldn't have a gun. You know, he wanted to just save people. And that man stood his ground, and it's an amazing, amazing story, true story. Just blows your mind what this man did.
Well, I don't even know about the story, but I know a story about one man. His name was Jesus Christ.
Right.
He went against the world. He went against the religious establishment. And he went God's way. And he said, I want you. And he's saying this to you. And he says it to me. I want you to follow me. That's why the first thing he says is, if you want to be my disciple, the first thing you have to do is what, folks?
Take up your cross.
Deny yourself. What you want. What the world says is okay. What they put in your mind. Pick up your cross and follow me. Yes, sir.
Somewhat careful to not mix up culture and the world, because culture isn't necessarily bad. But like, we live in a culture that is media, internet, cell phones, savvy. So it doesn't mean that we're not ever to go on the internet or have a cell phone. The world is our perspective and what we do with that. The world is much different than culture, and sometimes it's hard to define where that lies.
Right.
You have to be careful not to make something bad that is not necessarily bad.
Okay, that is true. That is absolutely true. So I agree with that. But I also think you have to also be aware that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. You have to realize, if you've watched the news and you're at any age at all, you have to know that if they're not informing you, they're conforming you. They're informing you. They're moving you in a direction of thinking. Whether it's conservative or liberal, 90% of the news media, okay? that word conform, you know, is only used one other time in the Bible other than here in Romans. And it's said, the Lord speaks it to us in 1 Peter chapter 1, 14 to 16. He says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you once lived in ignorance. Listen, you lived a certain way before you got saved. If you lived that same way, what are you thinking? That's the way the world does it. He's saying, I don't want you to conform to that, to those same evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Now you know me. Now you're knowing my word. I want you to walk the opposite way. He says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy, for I am holy. The next thing I notice in this is it says, do not conform any longer. So that means, that tells me that none of us should look with pride upon other people. When you get saved, the worst stink you can be, other than a compromiser, is be filled with pride and arrogance and look down upon everybody else. It is repulsive. Oh, you don't know the word. Oh, you're this. Oh, it stinks. Because we have to remember, we once came from there. Right? I mean, listen. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3 says this. He says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. He's talking to believers. I was once dead in my trespasses and sin, in which I once walked, following the course of this world. That's what I did. I thought like the world. I spoke like the world. I acted like the world, following the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan. The spirit that is now in work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived. And the passions of our flesh, right? How could we look down upon everybody else when we used to live that same way? Carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath. Children of not rash, wrath. Like the rest of mankind. Go to Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 10, real quick. Just the next text. A couple hands up, I saw. Actually, you were first, Natalie. Flashes through 1 to 10. What did you have to say, Natalie? Nice and loud, though, if you don't mind.
I was going to point out Colossians 3, 1 to 10.
Awesome!
What I was going to say just really quickly is that we, like, be careful that we don't think that it's just the way of the world, like, outside. Because we don't have, like, cable, for example, and I don't watch TV shows.
Yes.
But still, my natural, selfish heart tells me, somebody hurts me, shut them out, you know, to be bitter, to have a short temper. Like, those things aren't something we have to learn necessarily from the world.
Right.
They're in ourselves. Like, even if you're in your own Christian bubble,
yes.
if we're not putting on the love and humility and compassion and mercy and forgiveness,
yes.
It's going to be there anyway. Like,
yes.
No matter how many people think that you're holy because you live in a Christian bubble, because that's been my life.
Yeah.
But it's a continual taking off of the old, putting
on
the
new. Exactly. Yes. Would you mind reading it? Where is the mic? Thanks, Jim. Would you mind bringing it over there for her? Maybe you've got people over or something. I know without that, so it's kind of harder to hear. But you guys have lived through it. Why don't you read it for us, if you wouldn't mind that? Especially since the Lord put that on your heart too.
Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them.
See, you also once walked in them. Yeah, God, you don't, you want to do a little more.
But now you also put them all aside. Anger and wrath, malice, goodness, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Don't lie to one another, since you laid aside your old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self who is being renewed in a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, man or woman, slave, free, or Christ is in all.
That's right. So we used to all walk in these ways. That's what the word says. Don't look down at anybody else. Elijah.
I'm just thinking, you know, honestly, a study about the differences between both roads. Almost like a spiritual walk. Almost like pilgrims, pilgrims, just a little bit more simpler.
That's right. There's two roads to take for you as a Christian. That's right. You either take God's way, which is narrow, or you take the highway, which is wide, broad, and easy. He says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. This tells me that there's a pattern. Has anybody made a dress? Okay. I was going to ask, I know some of the Weaver girls make a dress. When you make a dress, do you just think of it in your mind and start to sew?
No. You have to have a pattern.
What was that? You have to have a what?
Pattern. You make a pattern or you find a pattern.
Right.
It's already made.
Okay, and then
you have to have a pattern.
So that tells me that there is a pattern here of this world. In other words, there's a schematic for it. There's a mold for it. It's trying to fit you into its pattern. Yes?
Could you tell me how we would differentiate that pattern so we would know that this pattern would work?
Absolutely.
It's not just majority rule. The world sometimes does the right thing.
Okay, that's fair enough. Okay.
Sometimes.
Well, first off, the next few chapters are going to be all about that to help you distinguish.
I'm not coming down a moment.
Okay. Well, then you're in trouble. But you can read the word for yourself. So there's a pattern to this world. And that, you know what? And I love the J.B. Phillips translation of this. It says this about that verse. It says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, its way of thinking, its way of perceiving things. You know, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good and it meets all the demands and moves towards the goal of maturity. Don't let it squeeze you into its mold. As a pattern. Yeah, J.B. Phillips. Yeah, it's almost like the living. Yes, it really is. It's like the Living Bible or something, or the Message or something like that. Listen, the world. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." But what the world calls good, God says, "I don't want a part of that." The world's going to say, the Christians look like we're the zealots, like the haters, right? Intolerant, unloving people. When in fact, it's just the opposite. The world's going to call good evil and evil good. There's a pattern to it. In fact, would you hit those lights there, Punky? 1 John 1:9. If you don't have that underlined in your Bible, you should. It says, we know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. In other words, there's a design for this world. It's under Satan's control. It's moving in a certain direction. Now, God is bigger than that, and greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. But don't fool yourself. The world is pushing you in a direction. The culture in general will push you in a direction. 1 John 5:19. What did I say? What? Did I say 1:9? I'm sorry, I meant 5:19. And it also says this, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Usually when it says world in the Bible, it uses cosmos, and that means like mankind, or that means the world, but it uses a very different world, different word here for world. And it means age. It means society. So do not conform anyone to the pattern of this society, of this age, of this era, is what the Greek word means. Yeah. Nice and loud as we go.
Well, I was thinking about the conforming and then just
scripture came to mind about to be in the world but not of the world.
Yes.
And what does that look like? And to not be conformed, but be transformed. And I think our great examples are Daniel in Babylon, or Persia.
Yes.
Joseph in Egypt.
Yep.
You know, they were in the world and not of the world. They could stand, and what Sue was talking about, culture. Even Jesus and the disciples in the Roman culture that they were walking in.
Yeah.
How do we walk in that world and not be of that world? We be set apart. And I just think those are really good examples of how to be successful in that. You know,
exactly.
Joseph or Daniel or Jesus and the disciples, or
absolutely,
even Esther in her situation. There are ways and examples for us to be not conformed but transformed.
And then, in fact, I was going to ask that exact question, so you just answered it. Thank you. That's exactly right. It's good. Hey, I love it. Yes, Sue.
I think there's a good list in 2 Timothy 3 of what are the world wants to take us.
Why don't you read that? You got the mic right there. I'll make you read it.
It says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves.
Can you imagine that?
Lovers of money.
Can you imagine that?
Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God.
That is absolutely true. Yes.
Well, the medical doctors now, if they do these scans, what they're finding is that we have highways in our brains where thoughts go, and the electrical signals follow along a path. And the more we use a path, the easier it is for us to use that path. It's almost like a rut.
It's a default. Right.
And then, so the more we spend time with whatever it is, whether it be sports or whatever, and it's easier for us to think along those ways. Those are the paths and the patterns of our mind now.
Yes.
But if we create, if we think on, if you do what it says in Philippians 4:8.
Yes. Was that your verse? Was that what you read? Why don't you read it?
Well, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. What we do is we create new paths, and the old paths begin to go away. So we truly are renewing, making our minds new.
Yes. Yes. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, speaking of Satan, it says, the God of this age, it's the same word that's used. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. They don't know any better. They can't see it. It's a veil before them. It's a God of this age. But that also tells me that it's temporary. It says that it's an era. It's an age. You know, I mean, the world system, think about this. It's age, it's era. The world that it, the word that it uses has been corrupted. So our natural born state, right, and our born again state are at odds with each other. We're going to answer questions differently. Listen to this. Think about this. Here, flip the link. Think about how you would answer this question if you were a non-believer and you were a believer. What's the meaning of life? If you were a non-believer, what would be your answer?
Get everything you can.
Money!
Everything you can, money, get it, whatever's good for you, right? What would you answer that as a Christian? As a born again, as a living sacrifice?
Jesus.
He is! To praise Him, to glorify Him in your life. It's my goal to please Him, right? I'm here to magnify His name. I love you guys. I do. I enjoy your company. I enjoy your presence. But I'm here to glorify God. And I want you to do the same. What about this? What makes a man or woman great?
Success.
Success, popularity.
Books, Botox.
Yeah.
Botox.
Yeah.
That's true.
But what makes a man or woman great in Christ?
Jesus.
You see what I'm saying? Who or what determines what's right or wrong? You do. Who or what determines what's right or wrong? His word. Him. Yes. Say, how do we respond as an offense? Like, if somebody offended me, my goal is what? What'd you say, punch him in the face?
Get even.
You offended me? Yes, that's right. Get even. Get revenge. Get one up on him, right? God says, I want you to pray for them. I want you to do good to them. It's opposite thinking. You have to rewire those pathways. What determines your worth if you're in the world?
How you remember.
All the same stuff. But what determines your wealth if you're a believer in Jesus Christ?
How you remember.
How much he loves you. That's my worth. My worth isn't even what you think of me. My worth comes from what God thinks of me. He says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I love that. Now, you might think you're wonderfully made, but I am. That's what he says. You know, and it goes on and on. You get the idea. 1 John 2:15-17. Turn there real quick, because it's also, this is all going to, this era, this society, this age, it's going to end. 1 John 2:15-17 says it. Be in the world, but not influenced by it. Because it's all fading away. D.L. Moody had a really nice illustration that he gave. He said, we're, as Christians, as a born-again believer, we're to be like ships on the ocean, right? We're made to go on the ocean. That's our, we're made to be in this world, in the ocean. But God forbid, the ocean should get into the ship. That's how we're to be as Christians, right? We're made to be in this world, but we don't want this world flooding in to our hearts and our lives, because we'll sink. What is 1 John 2:15-17? Is this all, this age is going to end? Right? It started off with God. Anyway, what does it say? Somebody read this for me. You've got a nice, loud voice. Anybody? Okay, go ahead. Nice and loud. And think about what it's saying.
The world and its design. What? No. What? Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Ouch.
For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes from, does not come from the Father, but from the world.
Yeah. That's, and then it goes on to say, what's that last verse there?
The world and its desires pass away, and the man who does the will of God lives forever.
That's exactly right. The world is passing away. It's going to burn, all of it. It's like a negative and a positive. It says, hey, the negative is God saying, hey, don't conform to the pattern of this world anymore. Stop it. Put it off of you. Get rid of it. If you're not doing that, something's wrong. Continually, take it off. Like your dirty clothes at the end of the day, imagine after you, you know, well, maybe some rest. You're sweating them, you're working hard, you're stinking. Oh, I'm just going to put those on the next day. Of course, if you're like my five-year-old, hey, I can wear the shirt 30 days in a row. But for most of us, we stink it. Right?
Yes.
Take that clothes off. Put it in the dirty clothes. Put on the fresh. Put on Christ. So as you get the positive, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but here's the positive, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God formed us. Sin deformed us. But Jesus is going to transform us by the power of his word. And it says be transformed. Listen. If you're sitting here today thinking that you're going to transform yourself, I just work up some positive thinking, I'm going to really get my life in order, and then I'll be a living sacrifice. No, it says be transformed. Who does the transforming? That's right. But there's a partnership, right? Between him and us. He's going to do the transforming. We just have to be obedient and stay on that altar. And he wants us to be transformed. Look, that word in Greek is metamorpho. And that is a complete change, a transfiguration. It's only used a couple times in the Bible. Do you remember when Jesus went up on the hill, right? And I think Peter and John were there, and they went up with him. And it says, like in the Gospel of Mark, I think it's chapter 9, and it says that he was transfigured before him. In different Gospels, Luke says one thing. It says he shone like lightning. He was there talking with Moses, which represented the law, and Elijah, that represented the prophecies, talking with them. And then he started to shine, like from the inside out. It wasn't just like light shining. He was transfigured. Same word, like They were trying to describe it, and they said, he shone like the sun, one of the apostles said. Another one said he was like flashing like lightning. There was something transformed, different, radiant. He was in his glorified state. It's that same word he's using for you. He wants you to be transformed, to shine like the stars in heaven, to be that city on a hill that people take note of in the darkness, where they say, Flo, I don't know what it is about you, but you got a different attitude about you at your work. Why aren't you complaining and grumbling? You're different at your school, Hezekiah. You're different at, you see what I'm saying? That light is going to shine. It's used only one other place other than the Transfiguration. And it says this in 2 Corinthians 3:16 to 18. It says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. Speaking about the veil that the world has over us. The law, whatever. Now the Lord is Spirit, and when the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, into God's image, from one degree to another. As you lay yourself on the altar, as you're transforming by the renewing of your mind, He's doing a change in you. If you're really following the Lord, you're renewing your mind, you are a different person. You don't think the same, you don't act the same, you are not the same. He's doing a supernatural work. That's our God. It is supernatural. And He does this, how do we do this? By the renewing of our minds. That's how He does it. He changes our thinking. Just like Gary was saying, those thought patterns need to change. Think about this. How much of the Word do you get in? I'm just asking you. How much of the Word do you get in every week? Just so you don't need to answer. Just think about it. Maybe it's a Bible study here on the radio. Maybe it's teaching here on Sunday. You come Thursday, or if you're super spiritual, you're coming to the men or women's group, and you're coming Thursday, and you're doing Sunday. But more importantly than all that, we're changed as we sit with Jesus. Now, as you come here, I hope you don't come here to hear me, because I got nothing to offer you. I'm here to offer you Jesus. And as you sit with Him, whether it's in a Bible study or in your own personal devotional time, He wants to speak with you. And as you see His glory, as you radiate as He radiates that glory, you're being transformed. You're renewing your mind through that relationship with Jesus Christ. As He's sharing His heart with you, it'll cause you to think differently. As that Word gets in you, washes over you. Have you ever heard the term brainwashed? I always thought it always meant to me in a bad thing. And in some cases, maybe that's in cults it is, but... Oh, hello.
What in the world did you do?
Anyway. Maybe Lord doesn't want to go there. Anyway. Oh, right along here. But the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man or a woman thinketh, there he is. Your actions are going to proceed from your heart, from the way you think, from your mind. Proverbs 4:23 says this, be very careful about what you think. Your thoughts run your life. Mm-hmm. Isn't that true?
Yes.
So we need to be thinking, well, we must change the way we think. Mm-hmm. How do we see things? How do we think about things? How we say things?
Well, that's just how I talk. I'm from Jersey.
You know what I mean? You know? Well, that's how I act around women. I'm from New York. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I'm Italian. That's just how we, you know, live. You know, that's how I respond to people who cut me off. No, that's not okay. Right?
Well, you just don't understand. That's just how I am.
Well, yes, if you're following the pattern of this world, that means your emotion. Fruit of the Spirit is self-control.
No.
Men.
Why just get angry?
Well, the Bible says be angry and sin not. Change of the thinking. What do you do? How do I spend my finances? You know what? How do I spend my time? Can I tell you, if I wasn't a believer, my time would be spent totally differently. It's not because I'm a pastor. As a Christian, totally. My finances, totally different. Everything about my life would be different. in a bad way, but it'd be different. I like this little... And this is, people think they're going to get it by osmosis. Well, I'm around a Christian for a long time, and I listen to music. You're not going to receive it by osmosis. You know, why don't you try reading it for yourself? Huh?
And doing it.
Yes. Amen, sister. You know, and you're going to say, I can't figure it out. God says, I'll direct your steps. You say, I'm too tired. I'll give you rest. It's impossible. God says, all things are possible. You say, nobody loves me. God says, I love you. You say, I can't forgive myself. God says, I forgive you. I'm not worth it. God says, it will be worth it. I'm not smart enough. God says, I'll give you wisdom. I'll give it to you liberally. You say, I'm not able. God says, I'm able. I can't go on. My grace is sufficient. I can't do it. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. The list goes on and on. Renew our minds. When those thoughts come in your head, you grab onto God's word and you hold onto it in your heart. And you trust him. And as you trust him, as you stay on that altar, even though the fire is burnt up, you are that living sacrifice, sweet-smelling aroma to God and to those around you. That's how he wants you to be. As newborn babes desire that pure milk of the word, that you can grow thereby. That's what he wants you to do, grow and mature. God, who, like that little baby right there? Now, it's not going to look... We need to even develop an appetite for God's word. Some people look at God's word like it's like a nasty medicine. You know, one of my kids, you know, you're trying to give many medicine. I won't say which one. He's like, people are trying to kill him, you know? And some people take it. Well, I can't. I have to take it, but it's terrible. That's because your thinking's wrong. Yeah. It's been influenced by the world. And some people take it like a shredded wheat. You know what I mean? Oh, I'll eat it, but... Your head shredded wheat? I don't know how anybody eats that. But anyway, it's so dry. You know what I mean? I'm like, I guess we'll do this Bible stuff. And then some people see it as the word says in Psalm 19:10. It's sweeter than honey and the drippings from the honeycomb. That's what it is. Yes?
I think that it's much like it is in the physical. When we, a baby's diet is very singular.
Yes.
Kind of going, when we first start reading the word, it doesn't always come to us like a hot fudge sundae.
Absolutely.
But it's still nourishing us.
Yes.
It's still doing what it's supposed to do.
You're growing, you're being strengthened.
As
yes.
Grow, we start to develop the taste. More and more,
yes.
Just like we do as adults.
Absolutely. Yes. And now, remember, as newborn babes crave the spirit, pure spiritual milk of the word, because you don't want to end like this guy. Do you know what I'm saying? We have a bunch of big man babies and a bunch of big women babies.
That's not
me, right. Me, 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 me. I don't know why God doesn't. You know, because they don't know. We don't know. The word is not in our lives. We haven't developed an appetite for it. We haven't changed our thinking. You can read that for yourself. Oh, girl, I have it on here. Okay, we're closing. Give me 2 more minutes. This is what it says, Hebrews 5:11-14. We have much to say to you about this. God wants us to mature, but he says, even rebuking it to some folks, and he says, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. You're not even putting in effort. He says, in fact, but by this time you ought to be teachers of the word. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. You're a big man baby. You don't want to be a big man baby. How silly would it be with Gary and diapers? Oh, I think it's crippled. But it says anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness or righteous living. But solid food, is that word of God, is for the mature, who by constant use, right? I'm using it in my life. I'm standing on those promises. I'm trusting in him. By constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Booyah, baby. And then last but not least, okay, last part of this. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect will. Everybody wants to know what God's will is. That's one of the big questions everybody asks. What's God's will? What's God? Well, are you not conforming to the world, the pattern of this world anymore. Well, no, I'm not doing that. Well, how are you going to know what God's will is? Are you transforming your mind? Are you into the Word? Are you asking God to speak to you every time you read it? Are you doing it for yourself? Are you sucking in teachings? Are you at the Bible? Are you? No, I'm not really doing that. Well, this is the reward for that. Then you'll be able to test. I'm going to test it. Not just test it, I'm going to prove it. It's going to be proved or approved faithful. What His will is in my life, His good, perfect, pleasing will. And I'll just close with this. You know, you determine what you're going to be, the people around you. You know, do you change the temperature of the room? Like, in other words, there are two things. Okay, hey, if you're fading out, listen to me. I know it's long, but we're okay. Hang on, stay on target. Stay on target. Stay on target. Okay, some people do not like it when I get here in the morning.
What?
Well, they don't like it totally because I do one thing. And I come over here. Okay. What a thermometer does, you guys, it sets itself to the temperature of the room. What I do is I go over to a thermostat and I adjust it. That's why we have all these little blankies in here that you see every year. Because I like it like a refrigerator. So everybody has it hot, and I'm sweating like a sow up here. So I hit it down to 77. So some people don't like it. But when I come in the room, the temperature changes. So should it be with you. God doesn't want you to be a thermometer where you adjust to the culture, your job, the school, your surrounding. He wants you to be a thermostat and adjust the temperature in the room. Does that make sense? And you'll do that as you transform. Do not conform to one of the paths, will be transformed by the minute. All right, any closing comments before we close out in prayer? Dino.
I've heard a lot of key words. Present yourself a living sacrifice to the altar, fire, thermometer, thermostat. I know you get a lot of teaching. I want to bring you back to an Old Testament. Don't know the address, but I know you know the 3 men. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In the fire. I just want to encourage you as the family of God. It's going to get hot.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a matter of trust. It's a matter of willing obedience, no matter what. Because as they walked in, as they were sent in, instead of having the attitude, somebody's manipulating them, they were walking in with trust. And then who's looking in? And how many are there? How many are counted? When we come to the place of actually trusting the presence of who is with you in the midst of the heat, in the midst of the fire, or in this case, in the midst of the furnace. They weren't consumed
by the fire.
They weren't consumed by the, let's call it, the fire, the furnace. They weren't consumed by their surroundings. They weren't consumed by their world they were in or sent in. They were protected by the presence of Jesus.
Amen. He was with them in the fire. Excellent word. Excellent word. Yes.
Back to the food analogy that you brought up. I've noticed that if you eat like junk food, it has like a really strong taste, you know, soda, candy, all that whole stuff, Hot Pockets. But it's weird because it like changes your taste buds to where like good food looks gross.
Yes.
You know, it tastes gross. You don't want it. But if you stop eating that stuff, then when your regular hunger comes, you want the good stuff. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is just like, we choose junky meat just because it's easy and comfortable, but in the end, it doesn't give us any good food. Whereas if we spent even 15 minutes in the Word or in something that's going to bring us the Word of God in some form, there would be fruit in that 15 minutes, but we'll watch an hour, 2 hours of TV that does nothing for us.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's praise. Or any other else? Oh, we got one more back there. Yeah, okay. I don't
want to. I have a prayer request. I don't know if anybody heard about it, but the tornado that hit Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Yes.
Last night.
I have family and friends there, and I have some family I haven't been able to get in touch with friends. And I have two friends that have children that in the U.S., in the University of Southern Mississippi dorm, they got hit. And they haven't been able to get in touch with their children.
Okay. Betty, if I heard you, since we don't have the mic, you passed around a lot. I heard you say you have some friends and some family that are up in Mississippi and that there was a tornado that hit up there. Is that correct?
It hit the town of Hattiesburg.
All right. So we're gonna take a minute and pray for them, and then we'll pray, and then we'll dismiss. And then we'll look forward to seeing the women at the Tuesday night Bible study. See all you guys back at the Thursday Bible study and then Friday forum. Let's pray, guys. Father, we just want to lift up all those people up in Mississippi, Lord. And I don't know all the details or Hattiesburg or even, I don't even know where that is, but you know exactly where that is. You know the exact situation. Lord, we just pray for Betty's family, Lord, and Daryl, Lord, we just pray for your blessings to be upon them, that you would protect them, Lord God, that you would help them to find a way to be able to contact the rest of the family to let them know they're okay. But we pray for you to minister to all those people, Lord. There's probably folks that are still in the rubble, or I don't even know all the details, Lord, but you do. We're asking that you would protect their lives, preserve their lives, that you would send the workers right to the right spot, Lord, the dogs trying to find the people, that they'd all go to the right spot, that your heart, that your word would go out there, Lord, that your presence would even locate people, that you would give people hope, even in the midst of no hope, Lord God. But we also pray for your blessing to each person here that's here today, Lord God. Lord, that as they remain a living sacrifice and stay on that altar, Lord, as that fire is turned up, they remember that you are with them, Lord. That they be reminded to not to conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of their mind. And I pray that you would do that in ever-increasing measure, Lord, in each one of us personally and as a church. We ask for you to do that, Lord. We love you, that we may make it our goal to please you, Lord. Lord, we love you and bless you and praise you and thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 God bless you guys. Have a great afternoon.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'll be there soon.
Okay.
Yeah.